Well, it is my pleasure. It is my opportunity to do that. And I consider it a joy. A man of God that loves the Lord with everything that he's got. And I've learned from being around him and just a joy for him to be the person that he is and knowing some of the things that he's faced and challenges that he's overcome. And he's where he is right now. Loves the Lord. Man, astute in the word. And you talk about a preacher. A preacher of the gospel of Christ. You know what? When I said that, I looked back there and there was a young lady had a smile on her face. And I'm not going to tell you who it was. But she had a smile on her face. And that's behind every man, there is a woman that backs him up.
Amen.
I think he called her. What's that word he called her? My shoulder? Okay. I just want to say, excuse me. But this is a man of God, and you all get ready to hear from the Lord.
Amen.
You know, we do things and we share things together. We eat together on every once a week. And, you know, we come together and share things that we have personally and things that we have. And that's something that's important. And I believe that you're going to hear from the Lord today. You're going to hear from heaven. This man is a man of God that loves the Lord. And I'm grateful to just say these words about him. So you all get ready. As they say, when you get ready for the sports events, get ready. Get ready. And here we are. Get ready to come. From Genesis to Revelation, here we are. Pastor Willie Gallagher, here we are. Glory to God. Somebody say amen. Somebody say amen. Somebody say hallelujah. Glory.
Amen. I was looking for horse number five to come back. Praise, honor, and glory for His grace and His mercy.
Amen.
For if it wasn't for the Lord, amen, none of us would have anything that good could be said about us. But it's only because of His grace and His mercy that anything good can really be said about us. So, amen, I'm just grateful that I'm a child of God. That I know that my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And I know I'm on the winning team. Amen. We thank God for Pastor Ward for those kind and generous words. Amen. To Minister Lewis, amen. To all the other preachers that may be in here that my eyes may be failing me to. The deacons, the trustees, to the ushers, to all of you, my brothers and sisters in Christ, and to my we are like brothers and sisters, amen. Amen. And Sally used to take care of us on that hill. So I thank God for you, amen. And last but not least, to this preacher, amen. Amen. That has been standing on the fence, amen, declaring the word of God through the storms and the rain. So, brother, I thank God for you. Amen. Amen. I thank God. And, you know, it's always said that behind every man, there's a good woman, right?
Yeah.
Amen. I'm going to take that up a little bit. Behind every man, I know behind me is a great woman.
Amen.
And I thank God for her. Amen. Amen. For she has really been strength to me. Amen. And I know that if nobody outside of Jesus is praying for. I know He's praying for. He ever lived to make intercession. But I know if nobody outside of me, I know she is. Amen. And so I thank God for her. Amen. Amen. I learned to follow instructions too. Amen. Amen. You know, I like that. Yesterday we were on our way back from Chattanooga, amen, and I got the order. We could turn around because Riri was on her way going home. So we had to make a U-turn about halfway. So a trip that took us about an hour and 15 took us about 4 hours. So we spent 3 hours with Riri. Amen. Amen. But we thank God for that. Amen. I want to thank God for St. Mary's. Amen. It's good to see y'all. Amen. Amen. We didn't get to worship this morning because we had an occurrence with the church. They're doing some renovations and the fumes were real strong. And we didn't want to take a chance on anybody, you know, passing out. Amen. I didn't have a set smelling sauce available. Amen. Amen. But we are grateful to God to be here. Amen. Amen. And I'm not going to tarry too long. Amen. But I ask you to turn with me to Psalms 3. Psalms 3. Amen. This particular Psalms, if you notice the caption, it says, a psalm of David when he fled from Absalom, his son. Psalms 3. The word of the Lord reads as this. Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God's sake. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory and the lifter of mine head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. Selah. I laid me down and slept. I awake, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000 of people that have set themselves against me around about. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people, Selah. I want to just use your faith for just a few moments this evening. Remember where your strength comes from. Sitting back there in the back talking to Pastor Womack, he was telling me about how the Lord has been speaking throughout this week. The Lord, nobody really, as he was telling me, nobody really knew what the theme was. But the theme was pressing on. And how preachers, not knowing what others were preaching, not knowing what the theme was, God moved him in such a way to where they came here through this pulpit in this sanctuary and declared, keep the only way you can press on is by knowing where your strength comes from. And so I come to remind you today that you've got to remember that God is the strength of our life. In this particular text, we find that David finds himself, he's on the run from his son Absalom. And when I look at David, I come to realize that David, being a man after God's own heart, David was not a perfect man. But yet David had a heart that pleased God. And even in the heart that pleased God, there was still some trouble that arose in David's life. But David understood what we as pastors must understand, what we as parishioners must understand, that the only way we're going to be able to stand is to know that God is our strength. And so I didn't come just to preach the pastor today, but I come to preach to all of us, because I don't care if you're pastor or parishioner, we still can only stand by the faith of God. We must understand that it does not matter what your calling is, you still got to live this thing by faith. Whether you sit in the back pew or whether you sit in the pulpit, you still got to walk it out by faith. And so when I look at David here, I come to realize that David understood that even though he had trouble in his life, he understood that he can lean and depend on God. You see, beloved, I realize that trouble comes into our lives, but the reality is that trouble won't last always when you know that God is your strength. And so as we come to celebrate and encourage you today, I didn't come to instruct you because I realize that you've been through some tough times in your life. You've seen some storms in your life. But I come this evening to simply remind you that your strength is in God. I want to remind all of us, because how many will agree with me, that life is full of challenges. Life is full of tough times.
And if you won't agree with me, oh, Job will. Job said, man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. And let me just hasten to say that is true even for a believer. That's why Jesus said that he said you can have faith that'll move a mountain. If there was no need for faith to move a mountain, why would Jesus even say that? He said that because he understands that sometimes life can bring some challenges that seem like mountains in your life. But how many know that when you know that God is your strength, you can speak to your mountain and your mountain will skip down to the sea. Here he is, David. Son, David's son is challenging him. You see, David's son now, you got to understand the story here. If I might rehearse the story, you see, David's son Amnon, he has raped his half sister Tamar. And when David doesn't do anything for 2 years, Amnon takes things into his own hands. And so Amnon raped Tamar, but Absalom, Tamar's full brother, he begins to take things into his own hands. And so he decides to deal with it. And when the dust settles, Amnon is dead, and Absalom is on the JBI. You know what JBI is, right, don't you? Jerusalem Bureau of Investigators. He's on the 10 most wanted list. You see, and Absalom, he remained as a fugitive. But David, who had a heart after God, David ends up allowing him to come back into the kingdom. But when he comes back into the kingdom, Absalom comes back in order to try to create a plan in order to overthrow his father David. You see, and what I've come to realize, beloved, is that you see, just like David had dysfunction in his family, you see, we got dysfunction in our family. And because we've got dysfunction in our families, we've got dysfunction in the church. And there's going to be dysfunction until Jesus comes back. That's why it don't matter what church you attend, there's going to be some dysfunction some way or another. We see, for example, in Jesus' genealogy, there's a number of individuals that did not exemplify the love, the justice, and the purity of Jesus. Abraham, he unfairly banished Ishmael and his mother. Hagar rationalized God's favor for some people over others. Jacob was scheming and dishonest, stole his brother's birthright. And David, who Jesus explicitly connects himself, he committed adultery and had the woman's husband killed. You see, what I'm trying to tell you is that I'm not trying to highlight and glorify our dysfunction, but I'm rejoicing and declaring that because God is who he is, we serve a God who can take our dysfunctional selves and he can add his power and make us functional in his service. That's why Paul would declare, we have this treasure in earthen vessel that the excellency may be of God and not of ourselves. See, I don't care how anointed you are. I don't care what your calling and title may be. We all are going to face some troubles in this life. Sometimes in life you're going to feel like old Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You're going to feel like you stepped in the furnace and the furnace was hot. But the good news is that even when you have to cry sometimes, even when you lay awake at night, we've got a God who will fix it after a while. Trouble will come. But when your strength is in God, trouble won't last always. You see, David is in this temporary place of solitude. And if you read 2 Samuel that deals with this account, you'll come to realize that on top of David's family problems, David had political problems. And on top of that, David had to deal with an individual by the name of Shimei. You see, Shimei was of the house of Saul, and he was accusing David of being the one for the death of Saul. So David was dealing with folk who was accusing him. He was dealing with political turmoil. He was dealing with family problems. And not only that, he had an army of 10,000 that was ready to attack him. You may not have all of that going on in your life. You may not have a 10,000 soldier army ready to attack you. You may not even have 1,000. You may not have 100. You may not have 10. But how many can testify? All it takes is one person mistreating you. All it takes is one false accusation. All it takes is one stiff-necked member who keeps hell going in the church. All it takes is one toxic-talking individual can cause pain and trouble in your life. All hell is breaking loose in David's life. But in the midst of this, David pins these words. David says that God, I know you can take care of them, and I need you to deal with them. You see, David, this psalm here, Psalm 3, is a self-encouraging psalm. You see, somebody knows what I'm talking about. Sometimes you got to encourage yourself. You see, sometimes you may not have anybody in your corner. Sometimes you got negative Nancy's and doubting Thomas's all around you. And sometimes you just got to remind yourself, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Of whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I fear? Sometimes you got to remember and remind yourself that the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You got to remind yourself, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. You got to remind yourself, I'm the head and not the tail. You got to remind yourself, if God be for me, who can be against me? You got to remind yourself, I'm more than a conqueror through Christ who loves me. This third psalm is a self-encouraging psalm. David is in the battle. He's in a battle for his life. You see, he's not only dealing with the rebellion of Absalom, but he also has to deal with the defection of a trusted counselor, Ahithophel. You see, he's got to deal with the slanderous remarks of people, and there is an army deployed against him. And so David is in a fight for his life. This is a troubled time in David's life. And I want to suggest to you this evening that this psalm is a psalm for folks who understand that life ain't going to always be a walk in the park. This is a psalm that people who understand that it's not always going to be a tiptoe through the tulips. This psalm is for some folk who understand that there are some folk who are smiling in your face and the whole time they want to take your place. Somebody know what I'm talking about. Somebody has some backstabbers in your life. Yeah, they'll talk good to you, but turn around and talk bad about you. I want to talk to the folk who understand that there are some people around you that are talking a good game, but they don't really want you to be successful. Do I have any witnesses in here? You see, this is a good psalm for us. David is saying that with all of the hell that is going on in my life, I know where my strength comes from, and because my strength is in God. In spite of folk accusing me, I know I'm still blessed. In spite of family dysfunction, I'm blessed. In spite of enemies attacked all around me, I'm blessed. In spite of trouble in my way, I have to lay awake at night. Sometimes the tears are streaming down my face. I know I'm blessed because my strength is in God. Let me remind you this evening that there's no trouble that God can't deliver you from. You see, because the enemy wants you to think that there's a predicament, a crisis, a storm, trouble, a midnight hour that you can't get out of. But how many know that there's no situation that our God can't handle? You see, there ain't no problem that God can't resolve. There ain't no storm that God can't speak peace to. I don't care what you're facing, what it looks like, what it seems like, what it feels like. There ain't anything that God can't handle. Preacher, you might not be able to handle it. Deacons, you might not be able to handle it. Willie, you might not be able to handle it. Mom and Daddy might not be able to handle it. But God can handle it. Look at what happened. Notice in verses 1 and 2, David is dealing with his problem. For he says, Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? How is it that they rise up against me? He says, many are they which say of my soul, there's no help for him. I don't know, preacher, if you ever had anybody. They may not say it to your face, but I know that folk talk. And you know that everybody's not going to be on your side. You see, but what I come and learn from this is that David says, I'm looking at my problem, but if you look at verses 3 through 8, David shifts. David stopped talking about his problem and start talking about God. You see, it's not accidental, but it is spiritual strategy. You see, we all know the Bible teaches us in 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, verses 4 and 5, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And sometimes we have to cast down imagination and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And what David is teaching us here is that if you focus on your problem, they'll swell to the point that they seem insurmountable. If you focus on your hater, you start seeing yourself as grasshoppers. If you focus on your hater, you start walking around broken and defeated. But if you shift your focus from your problem to God and see who God really is, you begin to realize, stop talking about what I can't do. You start saying, I can do all through Christ within my strength. If you focus on your problem, it's well to look insurmountable. But when you shift your focus from your problem to God, and you see God in his true stature, When you see that you're serving a God who spoke into nothing and the world was formed, and you look and see that you're serving a God who can speak to mountains and heal, and they melt at His presence. When you know the God you serve, He can open a Red Sea. When you know the God you serve can open doors no man can shut, and shut doors no man can open, then you begin to cry with a voice, and you begin to pray, I'm an overcomer in Christ Jesus. David, he shifts his focus from his problem.
Amen.
He said, my problem is Absalom. My problem is his 10,000 army. My problem is Ahithophel. My problem is Shimei. But he said, let me remind myself of who God is. He said, I remember he's Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who will provide. I remember he's Jehovah Nissi, the Lord my God. I remember he's Jehovah Ra, the Lord my shepherd. I remember he's Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there. I remember he's Jehovah Sittinu, my righteousness. I remember he's Jehovah Shalom, my peace. I remember he's Jehovah Saviah, the Lord of hosts. I remember who God is. David begins to praise God. You see, he begins to praise God. Look what he says. He says, you are my shield and the lifter of my head. You see, a shield is a weapon of warfare that keeps the enemy's assault from reaching their desired targets. David says that who my God is, he's a deflector from the assaults of the enemy. The reality is that the enemy, he's going to shoot his fiery darts. He's going to shoot his arrows. But when God is our shield, the arrows won't hit their desired target. Folk can talk about you all they want to. Folk can lie on you all they want to. Folk can build a camp around you all they want to. But my Bible says he prepared a table before you in the presence of my enemy. David says, God is the lifter of my head. In other words, David is saying that God is my encourager. You see, that's why you need to know God's word for yourself. Because sometimes the enemy will attack you when you ain't got nobody to call on. And as the old saying goes, if you look at the world, you be distressed. If you look within, you be depressed. But if you look unto Jesus, if you look unto the hill from which comes your help, knowing that all your help comes from God, you will be encouraged to know that no matter what comes my way, God will bring me out. He reminds you. You see, that's what I love about the Holy Spirit is. You see, a lot of times we want to just relegate the Holy Spirit to make us run around the church. And don't get me wrong, I like a good time. Don't get me wrong, I like to shout. I like all of that. But you see, what I love about the Holy Spirit reminds me of the Word. You see, when I'm going through a midnight hour, He'll remind me weeping there no more life. But joy will come in the morning. You see, when the enemies are shooting at God, He'll remind me no weapon formed against me shall prosper. He'll remind me that I'm more than a conqueror through Jesus and love. David says, God, you're the answer to my prayer. Notice the language that David uses. He says, I cry. Past tense. God heard. Past tense. What David is saying is that I know God hears my call. Because when I look back and see how He answered me in the past. Oh, church, that's good news, because I heard God say in 1 John 5:14 that this is the confidence that we have in Him. That if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have a petition that we desired of Him. You see, David teaches us that we need to reflect upon how God has moved in our lives in the past. You see, we got to look back and see what God has brought us from. You see, sometimes we don't look back enough. That's why we can't move forward. You see, but we need to look back sometimes and remember that I didn't get here because I've been that good. I didn't get here because I'm that smart. I got here because God has brought me all here. That's why I'm telling you sometimes, preacher, you see, you need to have you a spiritual journal. Yeah, because I don't care how good God has been to us. We in the church, we develop spiritual amnesia. You see, God does something for us, and then in the next moment, we act like we forget. And that's why you need a spiritual journal sometimes. You need to just write down what God is doing for you, what God has done for you in the past, so that you can look back and see Him genuinely. you look back and see in February what God has done. When you look back in March and see what God has done. When you look back and see how God has brought you all the way. Lord, the enemy is defeated today. Oh, he's defeated. Don't worry about it, because we know that God has the victory. Because our strength is in God. I preached this morning, and I know my voice is a little raspy, but my strength is in God. I'm going to trust Him. I'm going to preach till I can't keep a word out, because I know that God has a word, and I know God is real. I know God will make a way. See, when you look at where God has brought you from, you can't help but again to praise God. You see, I got to move on a little bit now, but I need you to take notice that David says in verse 5, it amazes me, because at the same time, I'm not amazed, because David is boasting about the confidence of God.
Yeah.
For David says, I laid me down and slept.
Yeah.
I'll wait for the Lord to sustain me.
Yeah.
You see, you remember that prayer, now lay me down to sleep?
Yeah.
David wasn't saying the prayer that his mama taught him. What David is declaring is that he trusts in God.
Yeah.
And because his trust is in God, he can lay down and sleep even when his enemies are plotting against him. David is sleeping while 10,000 are ready to attack him. You see, here it is. Two or three people talk about us, and we can't sleep at all. We walk in the floors all night long, taking melatonin. Somebody might take a knee here back. You see, but the reality is, we need to learn how to trust God. David says we better learn how to trust God. You see, because the reality is that we can see that God is always working in the background. Because here it is, the Bible tells us that David realized that God was moving in his life. Because when you begin to look back and you begin to rehearse this story, you come to find out in 2 Samuel, the 15th chapter, you come to understand that Absalom, he began to lean on the counsel of Ahithophel. And Ahithophel began to tell him, he said, you need to go on and attack David now, because you can get the victory over David. But you see, David began to pray. You see, David began to pray in 1 Chronicles 27 and 3. And David says, and Ahithophel was the king's counselor, and Hushite the Archite was the king's companion. Because David prayed, O Lord, I pray thee, turn the counsel of Ahithophel into foolishness. You see, another one I'm trying to tell you is that when the enemy is plotting, you better learn how to pray. Because when you begin to pray, God begins to move in the background. Because the reality is that Ahithophel was giving Absalom some counsel. But you see, Absalom didn't take that counsel. Absalom called Hushai. And Hushai was David's best friend. And began to tell Absalom, he said, now Absalom, I know what Ahithophel said. He said, but you need to hold up, because you know David is a man of war. And he said, it won't work out for you good if you go against David. And so what Absalom said, well, I better not attack him right now. And what that did, they gave David time to begin to gain his strength and get his bearing. Look at God working in the background. You see, I told a story the other day that I read one somewhere, and it was talking about a great pianist. He was playing on the pipe organs. And he was playing the pipe organs. You know the pipe organs that you had to put air in. And you see, he came out and he began to do a concert. And he put his hands up and he began to put his hand down. And he played so masterful. Well, whenever he got done playing, he got up and everybody was hollering for an encore. And he went into the background. And there was an African-American man back there who was pumping the air. And the African-American man looked at him. He said, boy, didn't they love us? And the musician looked at him and said, they didn't love us. They loved me. And they kept on hollering for an encore. And all of a sudden, the pianist went back out and lifted his hands up like he did before. He put his hand down on the organ, and no sound didn't come out. He did it again, and no sound didn't come out. He ran back there. He grabbed the African-American man, and he pulled him out, and they took a bow, and the people began to praise him. What I'm trying to tell you is that God is working in the background. Don't you ever begin to your life is God working in the background. And so David realized that God was moving in his midst. And because God was moving in his midst, David knew that he'll get the victory.
Yeah.
in closing, David, he said, Lord, I know that salvation belonged to you. And that's all I need to remind you, beloved, is that when your strength is in God, God will work it out for you. You got to know where your salvation is. And I'm not just talking about getting your ticket to heaven, but I'm talking about all the benefits that come along with it. You see, because my answer to prayer is wrapped up in God. My strength is wrapped up in God. My victory is wrapped up in God. My knowledge is wrapped up in God. My outcome is wrapped up in God. Everything about my life is wrapped up in God. You remember there was some Chilean individuals who got caught down in a mine. They was down in the mine for a long time. And they were down there and they thought they were about to die. You see, but all of a sudden they kept on drilling and drilling, and the drill bits kept breaking and breaking. But they kept on and they kept on till finally they were able to get through. But they saw a tunnel, but they still couldn't get down there. But because they saw that drill bit come through, they knew that that was a chance for them to be saved. But you see, they still had to wait for a while because they had to dig the tunnel enough in order to get a makeshift elevator down. But they dug it out and they kept on digging till finally they got a makeshift elevator. And when they got a makeshift elevator, all of a sudden one individual went down in the elevator and he went down to where they were. And when they saw that individual come down, they knew that their salvation was sure. Because one man came down, he all can go up. That's why they stopped by the mountain. He came down through 42 generations. He stopped off as a lonely man. He suffered, bled, and died. He went on the old brother's cross. He was in the Paul's tomb for 3 days and 3 nights. From the early Sunday morning, he got up with power in his hand. Because one man came down, I've got a whole new glory. Because one man came down, I've got the victory. Because one man came down, I can preach till I can't preach no more. Because one man came down, I can declare healing in my body. Because one man came down, my enemy's got to be healed.